Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. It is indeed a new day. Again, you are in tune to New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, and as usual, we are so very, very thankful that you took the time to join us tonight, to tune in, to be in tune. And, wow, if you're on the Eastern Coast side, then you know it is cold. So hopefully you all are keeping very warm, and hopefully we can provide you with some fire that will help you to continue to move forward in the spirit of our ancestors for real African liberation and truly for justice. Well, we're going to definitely talk about justice tonight, and I mean it is more than warranted. If you've gotten our e-blast, then you know what we're going to be dealing with tonight. I mean, another horrendous situation, like many we've heard in the past, but, you know, it is what it is, and we've got to deal with it. But before we do that, we always, as usual, give thanks and praises to our Creator, and certainly we are very, very appreciative of our freedom-fighting ancestors. Not familiar with what you're listening to, there are times when I feel it's so necessary to play the Empress, Nina Simone, and tonight you were going to do a couple of selections from her because it's just that kind of night. Oh, yeah.
It was falling around the sea. It was falling from on the bay. So I ran to the Lord. I said,
that's what we also make certain that we get, and that's power in the form of justice to start with. And yes, and a man, hey, y'all better do some real praying or something, because the time is coming for a lot of the madness to cease. Unfortunately, it hasn't ceased yet. However, we're still going to do what we need to do. And with that said, tonight, family, we're going to talk about yet another situation. Now, last week, we provided you with, unfortunately, a story that took place, or not just a story, but a situation that took place here in Philadelphia on January the 7th. What a way to bring in the so-called New Year, to get a report that one of our children, 16 years of age, Darren Manning is his name. I had the opportunity to see him and speak with his mother and grandmother briefly last night. And, you know, just a lovely, wonderful young man. As some of you may know and have heard some of the stories, you know, a straight-A student, again, very intelligent, very well-mannered young man, you know. But we know that here in America, that oftentimes means absolutely nothing, especially when you are a black male, and I dare say nowadays, and being a black woman as well, you're in trouble. But at any rate, again, January 7th here in Philadelphia, you know, Philly has always been known for some of the most outrageous kinds of actions by law enforcement. For those who are familiar with Philadelphia, a few years back, the FBI even indicated that Philly was one of the worst cities. I mean, it literally had to lodge its own investigation into the excessive force kinds of things that was very evident in Philadelphia under the reign of one known as Frank Rizzo, who was the police commissioner at the time. Well, certainly things have continued, needless to say, because over the years we have received many reports here in the city and, of course, nationwide. Philly started, I think, or one of the first cities that started the so-called stop and frisk thing. And a few years ago, people were very up in arms about what was going on, because a lot of people were being stopped at random for any given time, for any given thing at any given time. And unfortunately, all over the country today, you will find situations where police officers really take the situation far beyond what their job description really requires them to do. But nevertheless, we still have to address these issues. And here in Philadelphia, again, on January 7th, a young man, unfortunately, placed in a situation that I dare say that many have been, but in this particular case, just, you know, coming from school, he and some other students, you know, either coming for a game or going to a basketball game. The bottom line is one of the principals that's well known here in Philadelphia, Veronica Joyner, had given the youth, you know, scarves and gloves and whatever, because as I said, family, it's cold in Philly. So, you know, to have caring parents and people in our community to help keep us warm, I mean, is a wonderful thing. And the youth were given gloves and scarves. At any rate, supposedly, according to the reports that I've read, and I've read several, the police officers have indicated, or one in particular said that they were wearing ski masks, at least according to the report. Then another report I said I saw said something about something being covered over their faces. Well, for those of you who utilize scarves, then you know that oftentimes you will place that around your face, as I certainly do when it's cold out. At any rate, this kind of gave reason for the youth to be called upon or what have you. Apparently they ran and then stopped, or was running and then stopped, and at that point was approached by police officers. At some point, the one officer in particular, a female, from what we've been told, did in fact search young Darren search in the context of what they call frisking, what one may call accosting, or even in this case, perhaps even fondling. We don't know, you know, what the terminology is that's going to be best. We're going to be talking very shortly with the attorney for the family. But in case I didn't mention, we're going to also be talking, of course, with Darren Manning's mother, Sister Akia Manning. Now, this story has gone all over the country, and many of you that are tuning in tonight, I'm looking at my boards, you are here in full force from all over the place. I'm looking at Cali, I'm looking at New York, I'm looking at D.C., Delaware, and again, welcome to all of you. This is a sad situation, and it's one that we really need to be very not only aware of and cognizant of, but understand that as things begin to develop, we will more than likely see some similar things happening, but the point being, what are we going to do? How prepared are we going to be? And so with that said, we are going to dialogue about that tonight, and as I indicated, we're going to be talking with the attorney who is going to be joining us shortly. His name is Attorney Lewis Small, and we're going to be talking with Sister Akia Manning, who is the mother of young Darren Manning, who, again, is 16 years of age. Wow. We're going to open up the phone line for all of you all as well a little later on because we definitely want to hear what your comments are. But before we do that and before we go to our live line to talk with Sister Akia, we want to just kind of give you some updates on some of the things that's going on. And let's see now what we want to do is, want to remind you or let you know that our sister Cynthia gave us a report earlier today that we want to share with you, and it is in regards to Dr. Vim. Now, if you can recall, we were attempting to get a report a few weeks back when it was Dr. Vim's Earth Day, 95 years. He's been with us and has been teaching and sharing for many years. But right now, he, of course, at 95 is, really not in the best of health. But one thing that we know for certain is that we all have a real responsibility and obligation to continue to show him love, to continue to write to him, to visit with him. That's what we're really going to be talking about because we are ready to move forward with a few of the advocacy groups that we have formulated under the MWM umbrella. And those advocacy groups really are specifically geared to our women, of course, our children, our elders, and then, of course, in general, our family. And so we're going to tell you more about some of the training that we want to provide for those of you who are interested in becoming certified advocates for African people as it pertains to our women, our children, our elders, and our families. And also those of you who may already have the training, perhaps you would like to assist us in providing, additional information or additional types of training that you may have. So we're going to tell you more about that later. And going to also tell you more about the upcoming gentrification conferences, forums, town meetings, and organizing sessions, because gentrification, land grabbing, foreclosures, homelessness, all these things are kind of related, but definitely gentrification, which is creating displacement nationwide throughout our communities. And so the question is, what are we going to do about that? Well, certainly something that we've got to address. I will be going to Detroit next month, and for those who don't know, Detroit has filed bankruptcy, and what we're seeing that has happened in Detroit, we are now seeing in other cities as well. There's some stuff going on in Newark. There's some things definitely going on in Camden, New Jersey. There's some things going on in Washington, D.C. Well, there's some things going on in Philly, trust me, and for those who live in Philly, you really better get in tune to what's happening because it's going down for certain. But we're going to tell you more about that a little later on as well. And as we said earlier, we're going to get ready to talk more about what we call police and governmental terrorism. Why do we call it that? Well, there were days back when, you know, a lot of times you would hear the phraseology of police and governmental terrorism. police brutality, okay? Or for some, they would even say excessive force. Well, it used to be that, you know, you could see visible kinds of beatings and things. I mean, even in terms of civil rights movement. But then even after that, in the 60s, and even after that, and again, the phraseology was called, you know, police brutality. But nowadays, it's maybe a different tone. Even, you know, it's related, definitely related and definitely similar, but perhaps in some ways even a bit more vicious and also a bit more, you know, not just physical, psychological things are attached to it. I mean, this is a whole nother era. And so with that said, we've got to sometimes give it an upgrade in terms of how we call it. Well, we know what terrorism is as far as on a local, I mean, on a international level. But what about domestic terrorism? Meaning right here in your own community or in your own backyard. So we're going to talk more about that and how we use these terms and what they mean. But the main thing tonight is to hear about what has happened here in Philadelphia, hear from the mother. Many of us are mothers. Many of us are parents. And all of us, you know, are related or have some kind of relationship with someone that we love and care about. So the question has to be, what if this happened to you? What if your son or father or brother or husband or just, you know, someone that you care about, what if they were stopped by the police and at that point was then placed in a situation that they had no way of escaping or getting away from, and as a result suffered a severe type of injury? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight and then some, and we want to know what you think, but also we want to make sure that you're ready to provide support. Because, again, we don't just talk about these issues here at New Day. It's about educating, providing awareness, but also making certain that we're able to support one another. Okay? You all know the Me on the Movement is certainly, you know, very adamant about that, especially when it comes to our women and our girls. But in reality, we are for that for all of our community and family. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Sister Ikea Manning, who, again, is the mother of young Darren Manning. This young man, again, I saw him last night, beautiful young man. You know, it just, I really couldn't even speak, you know, to them the way I wanted to, because I have sons, and I can only imagine, you know, what's going on inside the mother's mind, and certainly what this young man is experiencing. And so, you know, there were so many people there last night at the meeting. You know, a lot of times you don't want to create more, you know, than what's going on. So I waited and just kind of spoke to them later, and as a result was able to get them on tonight. So, again, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to talk with Sister Ikea Manning, and we're going to talk about the tragedy, the violation, if I may, of what happened here in Philadelphia to young Darren Manning. And family, again, we want to make sure that we let you all know that this is an ongoing process, meaning we want to give you information that helps you to know what your rights are or what they're supposed to be and what you need to do if in the event something like this should happen. What would be the process that you can begin to look at to make certain that we understand how we need to proceed in some of these incidents? We don't want to keep being reactionary or crisis-oriented. And so, again, we're going to talk about one of the Million Women Marches groups, the Black Women's Defense League, as well as what we've now developed known as Mothers and Sisters Against Domestic Terrorism, and also Cop and Gov Watch. Well, we'll tell you more about that when we come back. We'll talk with Sister Ikea Manning and more. We're going to also be talking with the family's attorney, Attorney Lewis, and Louis Small, and we're going to talk with you all too. Okay, so you all stay right there. We'll be right back. None other in the background, once again, Nina Simone. We started off with Nina Simone tonight, and that was starting off with Sinner Man, and certainly some of the things that we're seeing, some of the things that we are experiencing is really considered the sin as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about you all, but again, in the background right now, we've been listening to another selection by Nina Simone, this time not with vocals, but with her brilliancy on a piano. For those who do not know, Nina Simone is one of our 12 sister saints, and we're going to be telling you more about how we're going to be celebrating each one of our sister saints this year, starting this year. And Nina Simone is one of them, and of course she was trained, as you can hear, as a concert pianist. So that's just one of the areas that she was just brilliant in, not only of course vocals and writing, but you could feel the passion. You could feel the intensity of her work. And that's what we do here at New Day, to make certain that we bring it forward. But I selected that particular tune for a reason, because, again, as a family, as a people, as a community, we have to make sure that nobody is walking alone. And so that tune was called You'll Never Walk Alone. Okay, so put that out there for a reason. But at any rate, we're going to go to our live line now. And you all have lit up our lines already, and we give thanks for that. But what we're going to go to now is to our live line to talk with our guests for tonight. I almost don't want to talk about this topic because, again, it's very disturbing. But we need to, because we need to make certain that our people are aware, more aware, and certainly more proactive. So without further ado, more to say, we're going to go to our live line. And joining us now, mother of Darren Manny, joining us now is Sister Ikea Manny. And we want to welcome her to this segment of New Day Resurrection. And thank you, Sister, for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's definitely a pleasure. I really don't even kind of know where to start, so bear with me, because I have sons, and, you know, in seeing your son, one of our children last night, I really was just like, you know, kind of stunned, because I saw his picture before, but then seeing him, you know, up close and personal was like my son, you know, see, looking at my son, too. So I guess where we need to start, and I know we can't go specific into specific areas with you per se, so what we're going to do is bring in Attorney Small very shortly. But what I wanted to do first was to just have you to share whatever you wish to as a mother, how this is affecting you and your family.
This has affected me tremendously. It's hard to get some sleep. It seems like my whole life has just changed within hours. I just talked to my son 5 minutes before the incident happened. You know, you think you've seen your children out here and you know they're at school. Even if you drop them off, they're safe. You think they're safe. You know, you think, okay, I'll put them in an activity or something that's going to keep them occupied and structured and trying to do the right thing. And here it is. They're stopped by just having fun, enjoying the time that they had all from school to get to their game and just excited about it. And you have to pay a price for just running or even just walking at that point down the street. I'm very hurt because I know you cannot save your children. You can't save them from the world. But I work so hard as a parent to try to provide and to teach my children good morals and things not to do and not to be like other people and always do right. Because when you do good, good will come back to you. But it seems as though I'm teaching my children this, but not one time did I ever think that I should be teaching my son that you need to watch out for the cops. I'm thinking that he's safe and he's not. I'm hurting because I couldn't protect my child. I can't beat him. What gives the authority the right to beat my child when I can't even beat him? And he did nothing that deserved that kind of punishment. And it bothers me because he just turned 16 New Year's Eve.
Wow.
And I always thought, you know, I can protect them. I can protect them. I have a daughter that's in college. She's in her third year of college, and I feel like, you know, if something ain't right, I could run down there to the college and I could just save the day, and I can't. And it hurts me to know that I had to send my children out here, and anything can happen, and there's nothing that I can do. It bothers me as a single parent that you try to put all into what society tells you to do for your child and watch them and do you know where they are and everything that's going on, and it seems as though people don't want that. I have my son call me every time he gets to school because he want to go by himself. So now and I say, okay, you of age, you can go, but you have to call me to let me know that you're inside the building. And sometimes the kids will clown him, he said. You know, I said, well, why do you talk to me like that on the phone, like you barely talking? Because, Mom, the kid's saying, oh, you have to call your mom. Well, your mother loves you.
That's
and
right.
A lot of these kids don't know that they, you know, they don't have that love. And it hurts when you have a good child. I could see if my child was out here doing things, walking around with his pants down or standing on a corner or doing something wrong. Protect him still as much as I can. But if you did wrong, you did wrong.
Right.
But he did nothing wrong. My son is not out in the streets. My son is with me from school and at the activities. I'm there to pick him up. And it hurts because it puts anger in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's thinking, I'm doing what you tell me to do. I'm doing the right things. And here it is. This is something that I have to pay for. I'm for doing right. It just don't make sense. And I'm really tired of it. And, you know, he's not sleeping. I'm not sleeping. And then when we try to get some sleep, you know, it's always a matter that we have to handle. So he's not used to this. And my son is a loner. He don't like to really be around people. And now it's like it's so much that's coming his way. I could see the little anger that he has, like as far as his face expressions, or he had just shut down and won't say anything. And right. then he'd say, "Mom, but are you okay?" And here it is, all because of these police officers. My son's heart could be changed from this. Mm-hmm. And that's not what I worked for. I didn't work for him to have malice in his heart. And you're going to strip him from his education. He's worried about that. He keeps saying, "Mom, I want to go to college. I want my son in college. We work hard for this. You mean to tell me you want to take his education away from him? How is he supposed to feel? Not knowing if he's going to be able to bear children. How is he supposed to feel? How am I supposed to feel as a parent because I feel like I failed my child?" It doesn't feel good at all.
My sister, and this is why it's so important that, you know, as a sister, as a woman, and you're going to hear others, I'm sure, and when we open up our lines, who will be there, here, wherever, to support. I mean, as I've talked to women in particular, not just in Philadelphia, but in other cities, they're saying, "Look, just tell us what we need to do, you know, when do we need to do it, because this is something that could happen to any one of us, you know," and that's the question that we're raising tonight for our family listening audience, that is, what if it happened to you? How do you think you would respond? How do you think you should respond? We're going to kind of open up the chat room for that a little later, but for now, sister, we want to say to you that we certainly support whatever it is that you, the family, have decided to do. We certainly, of course, support our young son, Brother Darren, and know that, you know, this will be a process for healing. But it's unfortunate that, just as you just said, you would have never imagined. Now, before we go further into that, just tell our listeners, our family, we call our family. I mean, this is how we are here at New Day. And we have them from all, our listeners are from all over the country, our family is all over. And we, this is a network that has other networks. So whatever we talk about here will get filtered out and brought to a whole, you know, different areas of activism, of all types of social justice kinds of things. So once we air this tonight, it's available at any time. So, you know, just so you'll know. But share with our family just a few things about Darren because, you know, the school, for example, that he attends is one that specializes or focused specifically on mathematics and other type things. So just share with us a little bit more about him.
With Darren Manning, Darren loves school.
Mm-hmm.
Darren is the type of child, he don't want much. He'd rather see other people have than for him. I really can't get much from him, so my son needs to see a psychiatrist because mm-hmm. he's always been a quiet child. It seems as though he don't tell me as much as how he's feeling because he's worried about my feelings, and that's what bothers me. He loves school from day one. When he came out of surgery, when he went into surgery, he was talking about going to school, and he had a Keystone test that he needed to take. Darren goal in life, what he tells me is that he wanted to take care of his grandmother and I.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels like he can't achieve that goal if they strip him from his education.
Right.
My son talks more about that than he does about having children. I'm confused because, like I said before, and, you know, who would expect that this will happen to you. Mm-hmm. So I'm still in shock from all of this, and I'm sure he is as well. And the pain, because while this was happening to my son, the only thing he could think about was call my mom.
Right.
He wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about his mother.
Wow.
He's not out here. He don't want him. First of all, he's not a street kid. He don't know anything about the streets. My son's life is school and basketball and then home where he may have some cousins come over. And he's embarrassed about what's going on, so he isolates himself. I don't want that. I'm trying to find ways to get around to talk to him. And it's like I can't break him. I mean, he's not doing anything, but he's not saying anything either, and it's not good. I don't know. I know this is something that we're still puzzled over, but we're not going to stop fighting. That's what we're not going to do. Darren is going to fight as well.
That's
my
right.
Son told me, he said to me, Mom, you have to stop worrying. He said, you have to worry about your health. You have health issues, and I need you to stop worrying about me. I'm going to be okay. He said, because we're warriors. And that's what Darren told me.
Okay.
He still tries
well,
to go on. He can't play basketball, but he still supports his team. And I know it hurts him and it hurt me that he can't be out there with him. This is the time that my son needs to be out there on the court playing, because he has 2 years, less than 2 years, he's in a test. He needs a scholarship. More scholarships.
Right.
And that's how I got my daughter off to school. I didn't have the income to pay for it. So whatever I had to do, and that means put my children in different places to play with different teams, and hopefully they'll get scouted. It worked so far. And then we were doing the same thing now, and here it is, you're going to take and strip. He already have a scholarship. And you're going to take that from him. He was so excited about that Sox scholarship from Sunny Hill League because of his grades. And he had this scholarship for 2 years, and you're going to take it from him. He's hurt. He's hurt, and I know he's hurt because I'm hurting for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. This is just a storm that he has to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And he got rotted out, and it will blow over. Just like any other storm. But I think as long as we just keep praying and I just keep talking to him and I seek out help for him, he's going to be all right. And even with the support, I appreciate everyone that has been supporting us. I really, really appreciate it because we cannot do it alone.
Right.
But whatever it takes, I'm willing to work for it because he needs his education. I'm willing to work for it. That's the only thing I could think about is just my son being able to go on with his life. That's all I want. And I know that's all he wants as well, just be able to go on with his life. Can't ask for much more. I'm just grateful they didn't kill him.
I know that's right. Yep. All right, my sister, you hang in there right there for a moment. We're waiting for Attorney Small to call, and we should be seeing that very shortly, I hope. But in the meantime, what we're going to do is, before we do that, we're going to go to a couple of calls in a few minutes, but we just want to reiterate something in case some of you do not know what we're talking about, did not see the story or hear of it or didn't get our e-blast. We're talking about a situation that occurred here in Philadelphia on January 7th. And that situation led to police officers stopping a few young black males who were coming from school. And as a result, one in particular, and we're talking about Brother Darren, who is 16 years of age, as his mother just indicated, had just turned 16 on New Year's Day, unfortunately was, I can only say assaulted, attacked, but certainly injured and severely injured in such a way where he had to undergo surgery. in regard to his testicle, and it was in fact ruptured. It was reported by the medical people that it was ruptured, and he had to undergo surgery, and now possibly may not be able to have children. Now, this is a situation that definitely is being handled, of course, legally, but it's certainly a situation that must be examined by our communities as well, all across the board, our so-called spiritual communities, our educational communities, our social justice communities, everyone really involved in this. And as Sister Akia just indicated, we have to continue to support the family. And with that said, I'm just going to suggest, and if any of you have suggestions, by all means, please let us know. But I'm going to personally contact, if Sakia doesn't mind, I will contact Dr. Faruqi Iman, who is here in Philadelphia. He's one of the best psychologists I've ever seen, and just, you know, incredible. I mean, he used to teach, he may still do, consult and counsel at some of the schools here in Philadelphia. But he does it in such a way that it's just, you know, it's just incredible, because it's in tune to who our children are and from whence we come, and he combines all of that in his professional training. So if you have not obtained a person yet to assist in that area, I'm going to certainly, you know, make certain that connects, if you'd like. Okay, what we're going to do while we're waiting for Attorney Small to call in, we're going to take a couple of calls. Again, family, remember, since IKEA cannot answer questions that are of the legal matter, we have to address that to the attorney once we get him on. So if there's any other comments or other things that you'd like to convey to her, we're going to open up a couple of lines for you now. And again, make sure you do. Please do not bring any legal questions in presently, because it is still under investigation. Of course, you know, there are other legal matters that have to be taken into consideration. She cannot, you know, answer or respond to questions that are of a legal sort. So, with that said, caller, we're going to come to you at 3255. We're talking about a young brother, 16 years of age, who, again, has what I call, you know, his not only has his rights been violated, but certainly some other thing. Okay, 3255, your line is open.
Empress, this is Mr. Small. How are you? Lewis Small.
Oh, what the, there you
I
are.
I was on, but I called from a different line. But in any event, I've been listening to you, but I don't know whether or not you gave your audience a background on the facts as to what occurred.
See, I wasn't sure. I didn't want to go to any of the actual, you know, legal stuff. So you got it.
Okay. Well, let me give your audience and you some background as to what occurred here. First of all, we have a fine young man who was making all A's in school. And he was on his way, along with his teammates, to play basketball at another charter school. So he had left mathematics, which is a exceptional school in Philadelphia. They got 1,000 students, and it's really remarkable. 100% go to college, and they many get scholarships. So he was on his way with the team to play basketball. He got off the subway in North Philadelphia, Broad and Girard, and when he got off the subway with his teammates, there was two white police officers and in a van, and they looked at the boys. And three or four of the boys started to run, and it's possible they were scared because of their encounters and experiences with the police. Now, Darren and two of his friends, or one of his friends actually, started to run for maybe a few feet, but then stopped because he realized he'd done nothing wrong. Now, because the police quite frequently hassle and terrorize these youths, they're afraid of them. But Darren was not. He stopped. The police officer jumped out of his van, basically just jumped on Darren, arresting him, falsely claimed that Darren had punched him three times, of course, no injury. They wrestled him to the ground. They pummeled him. And then, outrageously, he was taken over to a police car. Approximately maybe about 10 police cars appeared on the scene. And he was taken over to another police car, handcuffed, with his hands handcuffed behind his back. And a female police officer came over. And at that time, she ostensibly kicked his feet apart. He had already been searched. And I want you to understand, this is a young man who has never been in trouble before. Never once, even in school, never disciplined, a straight-A student. And at that point, in violation of any police procedures, and, of course, she sexually assaulted him. She grabbed his testicles so hard that he screamed out loud. And she did this a second time, and he felt something pop, so that she, in fact, ruptured his testicles so that the boy had to be operated on at Children's Hospital. And may, in fact, be sterile. So that, in any event, what happened here defies common sense. The officers, the boys were telling him they're on their way to play basketball. The officer called them hood rats and falsely arrested him, charged him with assault and battery. And then this female officer, in violation of all procedures, comes over and grabs Darren's testicles, squeezes him so hard that he screams, squeezes him a second time, and ruptures his testicles so that he possibly be sterile. What the police officer should have done, if in fact he had any suspicion whatsoever, because the other boys ran, he should have just come over and asked Darren what's going on. And in fact, that's what the law requires. He had no right to put his hands on him or immediately grab him and say he's under arrest. And he would have told them immediately. In fact, the other boys told them they were on their way to a basketball game. That didn't matter to this officer. So that what was committed here was an assault upon Darren by the police officer. He filed a false police report. He perjured himself. And the other police officer sexually assaulted him. So common sense tells you how ridiculous this is, in fact. What they thought is they got a boy who's probably got drugs on him, they're going to stop and frisk him, find drugs, find guns, and then everybody would be happy. When they didn't find that, and in fact, on this exceptionally nice young man, they falsify an arrest, and then this female comes over and sexually assaults him.
This is really, it's just, it's almost unbelievable, almost, but definitely, it's just insane, as you indicated. Let me ask a few questions here. One is, I know from what I've been told, there is a hearing coming up on March the 7th where Darren is being charged. Is that correct?
Well, he was charged as a juvenile for assaulting the police and resisting arrest. Now, the March 7th hearing. During that period of time, they're to give us discovery, but I don't believe that the hearing will result in any type of severe sanctions with respect to Darren. In fact, my hope is that the federal authorities will step in before then and investigate this case and prosecute the police. I think the attitude of the police in Philadelphia, particularly in this neighborhood, is to terrorize the residents. If you look at the video of this incident, there are numerous persons that are observing it. Many of the people who were out there were screaming, "Leave the boy alone." And yet people are afraid to come forward because they're so terrorized by the police in this particular neighborhood. So that there has to be a sensitivity training. The police violated the law. They violated the U.S. Supreme Court opinions. They filed a they violated a consent decree in Philadelphia where they were not supposed to do this. Common sense tells you that they just picked on the wrong person at this time, and when they found out that they had nothing, they just falsified their reports. Now, as far as the hearing is concerned, I expect there will be, I would expect the charges should be dropped and that the district attorney will do the right thing.
Great, very good. Although, having lived in Philadelphia all my life and have gone to other states and so forth, stranger things have happened where people so-called law enforcement people had been found not guilty. And so, you know, we need to definitely make sure that people understand that. We just saw a verdict came in, I think, on Monday, where a homeless man in California, I looked at some of that video, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding. They beat this man so severely, and this was a man who had some, you know, mental problems, but he's yelling and screaming, you know, Daddy, they're killing me, Daddy, they're killing me, and they're beating this man, and they beat him to death. Well, would you not know that they were found not guilty this week?
Well, I might add, I can't answer that case, but in this case, mm-hmm. certainly you could prove beyond a reasonable doubt that these officers were guilty. I might add also that this particular officer had been charged twice with false arrest, and Internal Affairs cleared him in both prior occasions. But I say to you, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Right. That was my next question, too. Had any other reports on them? Because usually, in many cases, what I've seen is it's not a isolated incident. It's not one time that it happened, but there tends to be a behavior and a sort of mentality that goes with this. Wow, this is.
They have not identified the female police officer, although I understand she's on desk duty, so we do not know what her prior conduct is. But I would surmise that this is a course of conduct that she's done many times. And I might add that it's totally improper. There were several male officers, mostly
right.
white, that were there
right.
laughing at the time, and that it is absolutely against any police procedure in any city or anywhere. I mean, if you just go through TSA at the airports, a female under these circumstances where male officers are present is not allowed to even pat down or touch general areas.
Sure.
Conversely, of course, a male would not be allowed to touch a female's areas.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, and of course, I'm sure by the time the investigation is finished and discoveries are conveyed or given, that particular officer's name will be revealed. Is that correct?
Sure, they'll be revealed. I would expect that
yeah.
before this is finished, they're going to be prosecuted, and I think a message has to be sent out to these officers that this conduct is not going to be tolerated. They're not going to be allowed to violate the civil rights of innocent individuals. And the fact of the matter is an example's got to be made, Adam, because this conduct has persisted for a number of years. And even though there are court orders preventing this type of conduct, it still hasn't worked. So that
mm-hmm.
the only example that I see where this conduct can be stopped is to just put these two officers away for good.
Mm-hmm. Well, let us hope. Okay, and again, I mean, I hear you, Attorney Small, but, you know, these situations are very interesting sometimes. I'm going to cite one more case, and then we're going to go to our line, and that is Oscar Grant. Okay, so everyone saw it on video, saw him handcuffed, saw him shot, and saw the officer get minimum to no time. So, again, it's very important that we remain very vigilant and very focused and watchful to what's going on, because sometimes the little trickery thing does go into effect. But at any rate, we're going to go to our live line. We're talking with Attorney Small, who is the representative, the legal representative for the family, for the Manning family. We, of course, still have Sister Akia on, and we're going to open up the lines to you all. If you have a question, we have both of them on now, so if you got a legal question, you can bring it, because we do now have Attorney Small with us. And certainly, please share your thoughts and so forth with Sister Akia, because, again, it's really about how we, in whatever way we can, and even though you may not be in Philly, she'll feel the love. Because I know in many situations we've had different things here on our program, and folks were inspired, folks were motivated, but folks also felt, you know, the type of strength and love that our people, our family have provided. So we're going to open up these lines now. We're going to take just a couple of calls now, because we want to go back to Sister Akia. We don't want to leave her hanging there for too long without being able to speak some more. But, Paula, you are at, let's see, let's go to 504. Do you have a comment, question, or something either for Strakia or for Attorney Small? 5044. Your mic is open.
Hi, Sister Filet. I don't have any questions right now. I'm just still listening.
Okay. I'm sorry. And who is this?
This is Wanda.
Oh, hey, Sister Wanda. Very good. Okay. Well, if you should, let me know, and we'll bring you back in. Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Let's see. Caller, we're going to go to you at 8701. Do you have a question or a comment for us this evening? 8701, your mic is open.
Yes. Hi, Sister Hattie in Minneapolis.
Hey,
and hey there. The thing that I wanted to share again, I've been reading this Walking with the Devil book by Michael W. Quinn, former Minneapolis police officer, and it talks about the police code of silence and what bad cops don't want you to know and good cops won't tell you. Bottom line is, if you look at that book, it's just a minor compared to the reality of the way the streets really are. I don't know about Philadelphia, but I can tell you, being an old disabled woman in Minneapolis, black, female, will get you the same treatment as that young man did. Now, we were talking with some other people across the nation, and I think, you know, people don't want to believe it or realize it, but that female officer that injured that young man like that was probably going through some kind of rites of passage for that code of silence police officers. They're just like terrorists. They're just like those little gang people who have little rituals that they must go through to show that they are part of the group. And it sounds like that's what that was about. That was some ritual that was being participated in. So just food for thought, and we can keep playing around with that if we want to. But the neo-Nazis aren't playing around. The Ku Klux Klan, as was said many, many years ago, have hung up their sheets and hoods for uniforms.
All right, Sister Hattie. Well, thank you so much. And with that said, and then I'm going to, you know, if Attorney Small or Sister Akia would like to respond to that, but I'm just going to briefly say that one thing that we found in the work that I do with the Million Woman Movement and the Black Women's Defense League, we have found that in law enforcement, what has often happened is that the women tend to overcompensate or to have to show you know, themselves as being capable or qualified in that field in order to compete or be a part of the team. And so sometimes they, you know, kind of go overboard, even more so than what's normally there, because they're trying to show that, okay, I'm a woman, but at the same time, you know, I can do this man's job. So we do have statistics and other things that have indicated those types of things. So, you know, hey, who knows? There could be a whole bunch of things that we aren't aware of and certainly aren't really talking about as much as we can. So I'm going to yield it and allow Sister Akia, if you have a response or if Attorney Small has a response to what Sister Hattie just said.
Empress, I do. Am I on the line now?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I agree with her. There is a code of silence. That's why it's necessary for the federal authorities to come in and question these officers. And I feel that with respect to the other officers that were there and just standing by, they'd adhere to the code of silence when they would be questioned by internal affairs or by the own police department. But if, in fact, the FBI came in and questioned them and they know that's a crime to say it, to tell a lie, I believe the other officers would open up and certainly confess up as to what occurred here.
All right.
Sister Filet,
okay.
could I just add one other piece here?
Go ahead.
Thank you. The other part that I would like to say is the expectation is that these tentacles stop at the local level. It was about seven years ago, we did bring in a team of people to look at the justice system here in Minneapolis. And unfortunately, some things ran amok, and the tentacles really reach further than we may even know or think. However, I would really just strongly suggest, and I'm not even a legal person, that all barrels be let go on this one, and don't be surprised of what you may find, because people are willing to cover up anything at local level and federal levels, because there is a system put in place in the United States of America to do exactly what it's doing, which is to incarcerate all these young African-American men. And people are getting rather agitated now that on a level of nationally and internationally that people are starting to look at America criminalizing so many of its citizens on minor things and others. Not that people shouldn't have consequences, they should. But I would be really, really not so sure about this is not going to be going just a straight open and shut case, because it's just really pretty bad out here now across this whole nation. And it's about this money, this big money.
All right, Sister Hattie, well, thank you so much for your comment.
Thank you.
And, hey, you know, we are going to continue to stay very, very focused again and watchful and prepared. I'll just leave it at that. But thank you again, my sister. Okay, we're going to take another call, and then we're going to go back to our dialogue with Sister Akia and Attorney Small. Let me see. We're going to go to caller. You're at 8265. We're going to open up your line, and then we'll do one more caller. You're at 3507. We're coming to you. We have a lot of folk. We don't want to keep you all holding on too long, but caller at 8265, your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Okay. Do you have a comment or question for us? Okay. I think we have a crank caller there, so we're going to go on to caller at 3504-3504. Your mic is now open.
Hello?
504.
Hello?
Okay. We have another kind of crank call there. All right. We're going to try one more. Okay, and I know who this is. This is 6100, and this is Mississippi, and I know that's Sister Dorothy. Sister Dorothy, how are you this evening?
How are you doing, Sister Filet? How was
I'm
listening?
Fine, my sister. Go ahead.
I was listening at the lawyer and
mm-hmm.
concerning the young man. You know, it's just so sad in America that this would happen. You know,
mm-hmm.
people may not believe. Now, we are not saying all officers are bad, and
mm-hmm.
because they're not. There are some good officers, but you got a few bad ones. And like he said, there's got to be something done about it. Just like even in my case concerning my granddaughters, a grandmother who had no criminal record, where both states said that I was able to take care of my granddaughters. And they took my granddaughters and placed them in a home where there was 9 children in a home, and ready to pay someone $6,000 a month to keep my granddaughters when I said I would keep them for free. And
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't have to use the taxpayer money. There's something going on. Then I get a letter to say that if I keep talking about it on the radio, I would never be able to see my granddaughters. But I'm praying each and every day, asking God to help me get a federal lawyer so I can file a federal case, because there's no way that I should not have my granddaughters. Only in America where people keep silent. When you see unjust, and you don't do nothing about it, and you don't say anything, you're just as guilty, because there's no way that this child should have been hurt, and there's no way the police should keep silent, and there's no way in America that children of color is being taken in large proportions away from their families and place in other homes. It ain't a day go by I don't think about my granddaughters. It's not a day go by. There are some days when I think about them, my chest hurts. You mean to tell me there's a federal law in the books that said you should notify the family and I wasn't even notified? Only in America this could happen. And I'm praying each and every day, and I'm going to pray for the young man, and I'm praying for myself, for God to bring my granddaughters home, because it's not right. It is not right that you can come in and snatch children from their biological grandmother and place them with strangers when I've been trying to get my granddaughter ever since my granddaughter was 2 months old. And even the judge said both families were capable of taking care of the children. What make the foster mom better than their natural grandmother? Only in America.
Indeed, Sister Dorothy. And, you know, just to comment on that, and we're going to go to another call, and then we're going to go back to Sister Akia, an attorney. Small, I just want you to know that I did speak with a brother. I think you might have spoke with him before also, Maurice. And what we decided that we're going to do is really begin to address this issue a bit more aggressively and start holding some forums in some of the cities, in some of the communities, because we're starting to get more and more reports of children being taken from their parents and placed into foster care. And then particularly where there's black children who are being placed in non-black homes. And you are just a classic situation where you're capable and certainly more than willing to care for your grandchildren, and yet the system has given your children to someone else. I mean, there's something, again, sinful and criminal about that. So, again, I'm going to talk with you further later on this week about how we're going to proceed with that. And until then, you just hang in there, stay strong, continue to know that, you know, we are going to fight. Like Sister Akia just said earlier, we're going to continue to fight. We'll never give up. So you hang in there. Okay, we're going to go back to Attorney Small and Sister Akia. We are talking about, again, what occurred here in Philadelphia on January the 7th, a young man, Darren Manning. Again, when I saw him last night, it just reminded me so much of my own son. I was speechless. Now, you all know I don't get speechless often, but I was just stunned because, you know, it just hit me like, wow, what would I do? I mean, I just couldn't even imagine. So with that said, and I'm still, you know, I'm just still trying to, you know, put this stuff together in my brain because, I mean, I know these things happen. I've even seen some things happen here in Philly and certainly have, you know, gotten many reports from all over the country. But, again, it just still never seems to not have a sting, nevertheless. But the question is, family, what are we going to do? Let's go back to that. Okay, Sister Akia, now you mentioned earlier about, you know, really looking at getting some help. What is it that you feel we can do to help?
To continue putting it out there, what's going on, not only to Darren.
Mm-hmm.
Praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
And showing up to the rallies.
All right.
Standing there with us.
Okay, let's go to that. Now, there's a rally coming up when? This week. If you're in the Philly area, because I'm looking on my boards here, we've got quite a few Philly folk. And even if you're in the surrounding area, because even though I'm in Philly, I go to rallies in New York, I go to rallies in Baltimore and Delaware, so... you know, just because you may not be in Philly, that doesn't mean you still can't come to a rally or a meeting, because we have several meetings coming up also. But Sister Akia, tell us about the rally that's coming up.
I don't have too much information about the rally that's coming up, except for March 7th. Everyone will rally during the time that he's going to court.
Okay.
There's so many other things that I'm dealing with now.
Mm-hmm.
trying to get Darren situated. I'm still baffled by all of this. It's so many people to talk to, things that need to be organized, and it don't leave a lot of time for me to get to watch the media or see what's going on, because a lot of things are behind the scenes as well.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, it speaks volume as to what Visconti said about this young man, in the sense that he's more concerned about his mother's well-being than even of himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is a mother, and I have to tell you, that has raised two wonderful children, both going into one daughter who's in college, and you heard her anguish about the possibility of her son having a criminal record and losing a scholarship and not being able to play basketball because he's limping now. And when I've met the young man on numerous occasions, and he's very laid back. He's very nice. He's a gentle person.
Yeah.
And when I heard her say this, it just speaks so much about this young man, that even though he's facing a possible loss of scholarship, a possible criminal trial, even though I've comforted him regarding this, but that his main concern, and possibly not even having children, but his main concern is to comfort his mother, not to worry. And that's just so, mm-hmm. that to me is so impressive about this young man.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, let me indicate or say to folks, the rally on March 7th, where do we have a location for that?
That would be at 1801 Vine Street.
Okay.
I think there will be rallies before then. And we can keep you posted as to that.
Okay. Well, please know that we are here, certainly. And Sister Akia, we're certainly here available to you. We have a network. We have quite a few women in particular, but also men who are definitely on board to do whatever. We're here in Philly. I have a few folk on our boards right now who are just saying, Lord, what do we need to do? When do we need to do it? So we have a meeting coming up this Saturday at 3117 Master Street, the Shanghai City Cultural Center. And it's primarily, again, for information, for strategy, because we want to know and be ready for March the 7th so that we are organized. Either way that it goes, we'll know what it is that we're doing. And we all want to also make certain that people get information about their rights. So we have a pamphlet that we have available for folks free of charge that talk about know your rights, what to do if stopped by the police, okay? Because we have to provide information and training on what to do and what not to do, because you don't want to give them additional, something to draw from. So, you know, especially with our young brothers, you have to be very careful. So we want to make sure that our people have this information. So, again, Shanghai City Cultural Center, next Saturday, the 25th at 2 o'clock, we'll be there to provide you with information and whatever updates, because we're going to stay in touch with Sister Akia and with Attorney Small so that we know what's going on and what it is that we may need to do. And we'll keep that, readily available to all of you. Sister Akia, we are able to broadcast at any time. So for whatever reason, if you need us to get on the horn, again, we have a network that's nationwide. As you just heard, we heard from Minnesota. We heard from Philly, of course. We're going to go back to a few other lines. I've seen, Cali's on the line here, so we have a national network, and a lot of our folks deal with social justice issues and specifically what we call police and governmental terrorism. Okay, so know that we are available at any time. Okay, we're going to take a couple more calls. Caller, you're at 1311. I think this is New Jersey coming in.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Yeah, I thought so. All right, good. Good to hear you. Well, you hear what's going on.
Yeah, I do. And I am so sorry for everything that you're going through. And I wanted to know if maybe we could set up a scholarship fund to collect donations.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Sister Akia?
Yes, thank you. Thank you. That would really be
wonderful.
Nice. That would really be wonderful, Darren. Really appreciate that.
All right, I'm going to set it up on GoFund, all right? And I will get all of the particular information from the Empress, and we will let you know where the site is, and we'll take it from there.
Thank you so much for supporting us. We really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Oh, that's an excellent idea, my sister. Thank you. You're always on point. And this, again, is one of the sisters I was talking about who is an activist, does work all, you know, all the time, and it's focusing on making certain that our rights are, you know, are dealt with adequately, because we can't just talk about civil rights anymore. We have to talk about human rights, too. And so this is what some of us are now trained to do, is to connect those dots, because, again, there are violations that are, in fact, civil rights violations, but there are also some things that we need to look closer at in terms of our human rights violations. Wouldn't you agree with that, Attorney Small?
Absolutely. There's no question about that. And this case goes beyond the stop and frisk and the violation of the Fourth Amendment. This goes into a, besides into racial profiling, but from the officer's comments themselves, it's very clear that he was racially motivated when he calls the kids hood rats, when the other teammates are just telling him, hey, we're going to a basketball game, and he refers to them as hood rats. And I consider that a pejorative remark or a racist remark. I think that tells what his mindset was very clearly.
Okay. And, again, these are some of the things that we've got to now point out about what happened on January the 7th. I mean, obviously, there are some very direct physical things that occurred here. But there are also some other areas that definitely have to be pointed out. So that's exactly what we are doing and will continue to do. I'm going to go to one more caller. Sister Cynthia, you stay right there. We're going to come back to you. And caller, you're at 1613. This looks like a Philly number. So let's see, 1613.
My aunt holds that.
Mahotep.
Yes. This is really good that you know, we're able to have this discussion, and I wanted to ask, and I'm deeply moved by what happened to your son, and I'm very, very impressed with his bravery and love for you. It's so powerful. You know, it's very, very powerful. And I saw the picture of him. He's a handsome young man. You know, and I wanted to know, how are the brothers, the men in your life, assisting you with helping him? Because he may not open up to you, but he may say some things to them. And so I wanted to know, does he have that opportunity, or is he having that experience at this time?
I come from an older generation. And his father is not in his life. His grandfather is not in his life. So the little bit of time he can get with his uncle, my brother, spends that time, but he has to work, and he also had children himself. So he tries to spend some time and talk to him. I do have an uncle. He talks to my son. My son opened up. What really got my son to be with the rest of the team was my uncle. My son will open up to him and will tell him that my uncle was 66. So my son will open up and say, my mom treated me like I'm an 8-year-old. She wanted to dress me. So because you're not going to walk outside with your clothes wrinkled. You're just not going to do it. So... he said, you know, you have to open up, and he's getting older now, you know, you have to let him go. And I understand it, but things like this has always been my fear. So it's like what happened, my uncle was like, I'm so sorry I told you to let him go, you know, but it's okay. God was with him. It's all
right.
You know, we can't protect him all the time. So me not being a man, I can't teach him what a man can teach him. I can only give him what I know that a woman will want to receive from a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to get him to watch different shows. Like, they could be showing the Sixers playing, and then they show people that's inspired by things and things that they're doing in their life. And I'll bring them in a room, and I'll say, look at this, you know, and try to gather from that, because some of these men that's playing basketball, they haven't had a five either, and they're still doing things. But it's up to you. And I just try to reassure him, no matter what, mommy got your back. It's not much that I can do.
Right.
You know, I try to think of ways. I talk to men. But where I come from, a lot of them are no good. So I would rather not have my son a part of that. You're telling him one thing and then you're doing something else.
Well, you know, I was asking you that because I wanted to know, were you receiving help, and you know, that might, you know, help deal with what you were saying, that he just, when he clams up and he doesn't speak to you, because they all do that, you know, at a certain age, they don't want to talk to mom anymore, and so, you know, they have to have that, you know, that male interaction, and there are a lot of all male, you know, male manhood, boy to manhood groups in the Philadelphia area. I don't know if you are aware of them, but one in particular is with Brother Shamari Grimes. He's right here in Philadelphia. He has the ACT concept. He's on Facebook, you know, and he's also he also hosts on a radio show here in Philadelphia as well. But he has a group. You have Dr. Doreen Lowry out of with the Black Male Development Symposium here in Philadelphia, based here in Philadelphia. And I can't think of the third one. It was right. I'm thinking of a young brother named Gabriel Bryan, who also mentors youth in this area. He's also on Facebook. I don't know if you do the social media thing, but if you need that information, I could give it to Empress Filet for you, so that you can make those contacts, because he does need that kind of relief. You know, he needs to be around males, and he needs to communicate with them. You know, because mommy, you did every. He's 16. You know, we got to step back and let them be the men that they're gonna be. You know. I just wanted to share that with you, and hold on and be strong, and I'll be at the rallies. I'll be supporting in whatever way that I can, and I'm sure that there are many other sisters as well that will be supporting. My name, I'm E.I. Ajua, and I am president of Afrocentricity International Philly chapter here in Philadelphia. Of course, here in Philadelphia, but just wanted to let you know who you're speaking with, and keep on doing your due diligence, because you know, this is a powerful life lesson. And one of the things I want to offer publicly is that I would like to volunteer my services in terms of expanding on the Know Your Rights information that Empress Filet was talking about, because if we comprehend the history of the origination of the police force in America, it might help our youth comprehend, you know, why the police act the way that they act. You know, sometimes it helps to know the story about how things came to be, and then it gives you a deeper understanding of your place in it and why people look at you the way that they look at you, because that's all it is. And is it true that the youth had their scars on their face, and that the police said that, this might be a question for the attorney, and that the police said that they were suspect because their faces were covered?
The police did say that they were wearing ski masks. Mrs. Joyner at Mathematics, Civics and Science Charter School, had given them, before they left, of course all the boys said a prayer, and she had, because it was so cold, had given them scarves to wear. Now, Darren was not wearing a scarf. He was wearing a hoodie, and it was a very, very cold day. The police ostensibly got suspicious because some of his teammates started to run, and that's what triggered their suspicion, even though Darren just ran for a few steps, and he didn't run away from the police. So, you know, when you really get down to it, what messages to send out to African-American youth to cooperate with the police when the ones who go up to them get beaten up and pummeled and falsely arrested, and the ones who run away get away? So that
And that part was so disturbing to me, because it was like, wow, so the youth who ran, they were correct in their behavior, you know? And that's it's sending mixed messages to our youth, because you know, on one hand they're being taught, you know, that, you know, this is who you go to for help. And on the other hand, this is also the people that might hurt. It's really confusing. It's very confusing.
It kind of sounds like a double-edged sword.
That's why it's extremely important to ferret out those officers who, and most police are very good. I mean, we rely upon them. And that's why it's so important to ferret out the bad ones, because the bad ones actually not only ruin the reputation of the city and ruin the reputation of the police department, but that's why people don't come forward to cooperate. You know, there are so many witnesses out there. When you look at the video and when you talk to these people, they're afraid to come in because they're afraid of the police. And yet, and yet you hear from the police, why don't witnesses cooperate with us?
Well, that's why. That's partially why. But I think Darren is destined for great things. I really do. Darren, right?
Yeah,
yes.
Darren.
Yes, yeah. He's destined for great things. He's already a winner in my eye. And I've just seen a picture of him this evening on Empress Filet's notice that she sent out. And but he's a winner in my eye, because he's concerned about his mama and his grandma. He is a winner.
I might add also that he's getting a great deal of support from the school. When we went to court, all of his teammates were there, the coach, Mrs. Joyner, and she's really worked diligently. She has a tremendous background in civil rights, and she's had the Parents United, Parents United for Better Schools. She's done this for a number of years and been a strong advocate for civil rights, and brought numerous complaints where there were violations of civil rights just recently against the Athletic Association, actually, which resulted in certain things being corrected. But in any event, Darren has a lot of support at the school and a lot of support at the community.
Everybody, whether you're white or black, or
African-American, realize that this is atrocious and it's got to stop.
It really is. He's giving me all of the support, and we're going to give it to him, too. You got even more support with this network right here. This is a strong network. It's a strong network
right here. That's right.
Yes.
And Sister Ajua is being really kind of like, you know, low-key, but she's actually Dr. Ajua, and an educator here in Philadelphia. She has taught at several schools, so she's kind of being a little mild mannered back there, but you're talking with a powerhouse as well. And then on before her, she too is an educator and a family therapist. Sister Cynthia is the one that suggested about the scholarship. So, you're in good company.
Thank you.
You're in good company.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, my sister. You're very welcome. And thank you for sharing this story and information, because we need to know the details and we need to know about the rallies. I'm glad there's going to be more than one rally. I'm very supportive of there being a rally in February and March, you know, so that we could keep this in the public eye, because I haven't seen – I don't even recall seeing a word of it too much. If I did see it on the news here, you know, I did hear about it on the media network.
It was on the news.
It was.
It's been all over the newspapers. It's been all over the internet. It's police commissioners held conferences on this. So there's been a tremendous amount of publicity.
Good. Well, it needs to stay in the news.
Right, and we're going to make sure that it does, because if nothing else,
that's
we
right.
know how to do communication. So
that's
we're going
right.
to, again, as women, we know what we can do and what we will do. So we'll be certain to make sure that this thing gets circulated, you know, in all kinds of circles, okay, because we have sisters in all types of circles. But my sister, Adjua, thank you so much. We're going to take one more caller. Let me see. Let me go down.
I'm sorry. Sister Finette, one more thing before.
Okay, go ahead.
So can you give that date again for the next Saturday? It's not the 25th because the day is the 25th. So next Saturday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're having
February 1st. Yeah. We were supposed to do
1st.
One today, and we canceled it because it did start
snowing,
and we didn't know how that was going to turn out.
Right.
But we'll be there for next Saturday. You're right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
February 1st is the date. Yep.
Okay.
And we'll be there at 2 o'clock. And, again, we'll have information that's for, you know, again, know your rights. We have a pamphlet available. We'll also have discussion and any updates for, you know, getting prepared for March 7th, et cetera, et cetera. We have formulated a specific group called Mothers and Sisters Against Domestic Terrorism. And, of course, that's connected to our Gov and Cop Watch unit. And the Gov and Cop Watch is an ongoing unit. Again, we provide training on how to record kinds of things. If you see something that's going on today with the technology with folks' phones, you all can, you got to know how to record this stuff. And now we've learned of a new app that the ACL has provided so that if someone, should, for whatever reason, is stopped by the police, all you got to do is push a button real quick on your phone and it'll record it automatically. And this
These
things are available.
Because
You never know. And they don't even have to know that you pushed that button, by the way. So these are some of the things we have to now share with each other. Brother Philip brought that to our attention. And he has a phone. So these are some of the things that we're going to be sharing. And also, you know, helping our people to know, you know, even sometimes when you move a certain way, you know, these are things you got to be more careful of or more cognizant of. So we're going to make sure that people have that information. Okay, we're going to go to another caller. You're at 6836. We're going to open up your mic. I hope. Yep. Give me a minute. We've got so many calls. Okay, 6836. Your mic is open.
Hi, Coker calling. How you doing?
Hey, Coker. I'm good. How you been tonight?
Well, I'm wonderful, but I'm just, my heart just goes out to our sister mother. And while listening to her, certainly we all felt her pain and wish we could find a way to prove their lives so that they will be at peace. And you're definitely in my prayers. Now, why not? Why don't we know the woman who raped Darryl? Why don't we know her name by now?
Because the police haven't released it, although I understand she's been put on desk duty.
Yeah, but in any other crime, we know who did it. I mean, you know, it's that person.
They have to release it through discovery, so, you know, we're going to get that information.
Okay, so what they're doing, hiding.
And it's not a rape. It was not a rape. It was a sexual assault on a minor.
Well, rape is the act of seizing and carrying off by force. So, to me, that was rape.
Okay. But it's not a legal definition of rape, but in any event.
Well, that's what I got out of the dictionary. That's number
assault.
three definition.
Right.
Now, after the Trayvon Martin terrorism and premeditated murder by George Zimmerman, my personal cry was for a Trayvon Martin movement where we teach children safety now, TCSN. We just need to teach them how to be safe so that we never have to experience something like this again. But because it was my cry and it wasn't somebody who is of prominence who made that cry, it was ignored. But we need to teach our children safety now. And Trayvon Martin is a perfect example for a movement
I agree.
TCSN, Teach Children Safety Now. And thank you so much for this good information and this good, what you're doing, Filet. Thank you so much.
We thank you, Sister Coker. And, hey, I wrote that down, and we're going to put that on our agenda. PCSN, I got it. So we're
going to the dilemma with respect to that becomes that you teach the children to cooperate with the police and not to be afraid of the police, that they're your friends, mm-hmm. and yet you have this situation that occurs here in Philadelphia, particularly in this neighborhood, where it's just the opposite.
And that's why we need the children's safety now. It has nothing to do with the police. We need to teach them what they need to do in whatever situation they're in so that they will step to it correctly. Like when Trayvon Martin was talking to his friend on the phone, she mm-hmm. should have told him to call 911, or he should have thought to do that himself. That's what I mean by teach children safety now, so that they will mm-hmm. know what to do in any situation that they're in peril.
I would mm-hmm. just like to say, if I can,
mm-hmm.
I think that's easier said than done. You can teach them, but in some cases with children, sometimes even as an adult, you get nervous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the way they approach you.
All
and
that's
then you
true.
Lose your thoughts to where you can't think.
All that's true, but if they at least, well, okay, for instance, I was walking one night, it was dark, and there was snow. All of a sudden, I stopped. I don't know why I stopped, but I stopped and turned around, and a man was approaching me, and I said, you go ahead, because I'm walking slow, and it was only an aisle that he could walk down through the snow. And he was about ready to do harm to me. But I knew that what I should do is go in traffic, and that's what I did. I just walked away from him and went in traffic, and he ran. I don't honestly mm-hmm. think he had a gun. That's what he said. If you make any noise, I'm going to kill you. So I just walked away. You have to know what to do. You have to have at least have an idea of what you can do in whatever situation you're going to be in, because it's going to happen.
Right.
I've been attacked twice,
mm.
and thankfully I knew what to do each time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something you have to keep in your psyche. And unfortunately, yes, this is something our children have to learn, but that's to save their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So they can at least have an idea of what to do.
Right.
And the other thing about that, too, is this. We need to try to do whatever it is we feel we can do or should do. It doesn't always turn out that way, but if we at least attempt to do the things that we think we can do, then, hey, you know, that's
exactly.
the part that we've done. So I understand clearly.
When I was a teenager, I was standing outside of West Philly High School. There was a football game. I'm minding my own business all by myself, not bothering anybody. A young white cop, probably a rookie, came over to me and told me to move on. And I said to myself, move on? What was I doing? And I think he was just trying to start something. But a voice came over me. And it said, move on. Not his voice, but within me, I heard this voice say, move on. And so I moved on. Had I not moved on, he probably would have put me in the paddy wagon or whatever and done whatever he wanted to do. He was trying to provoke something.
Okay.
And you have to listen to that spirit within you. You have to listen to whatever you want to call it. They say, and something told me. That's the Creator telling you, because that the thought isn't something you thought, it's something that came to you, it popped in your head to do that. So we had to listen to that too.
Okay.
So thank you for the opportunity to speak on this, and my heart goes out to you, my dear sister.
Thank you.
And you're definitely in my prayers, because I want you to have some peace in your life. I feel what you're feeling. I'm a mother of three daughters. I have a son-in-law, two grandchildren, and I'm about to be a great-grandmother. So I know what you're going through. And our hearts are with you, for real.
Thank you. appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Right. So long.
And Sister Coker, definitely, again, I got it, TCSN. We're going to work on that. But, yeah, I agree. We have to step it up some. I mean, we can only do what we can do, but certainly we are going to do what it is that we must. That is for sure. So thank you again. Okay, we're going to take one more call and bear with us for a moment because for some reason my boards are really jammed up here. And for some strange reason, it's freezing up on me because we have so many callers. So in the meantime, while I'm trying to unfreeze it, we're going to go back to Attorney Small and, of course, his sister, Akia, because I'm going to ask a hypothetical question here. And, of course, we feel pretty confident in what we've said thus far that these officers will be prosecuted. However, what if that doesn't happen? So, what would our response be then? Attorney Small?
It's very difficult to deal in hypotheticals, but I think this is an appropriate case where, in fact, the officers will be prosecuted. If you just look at the facts on the surface, they don't make any sense whatsoever. And the evidence, actually, as to the second incident with respect to the female officer assaulting him, is just overwhelming. The injury is perfectly consistent with exactly what occurred. There were witnesses to that. With respect to the first incident, that officer should be certainly prosecuted also, and I think the evidence is pretty much overwhelming there, beyond any reasonable doubt. So I'm confident and hope that, in fact, the federal authorities will step in. If not the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, I think they'll step in too and do the appropriate thing.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, it sounds good, and we certainly hope that that happens. But, you know, again, I've seen too many things. And when we thought that was not going to be a situation, it did, in fact, be that way. So I always try to be very optimistic, but I'm also very realistic. Okay, caller, you're going to be at 6254. We're going to open up your mic, hopefully. Again, bear with us. We're having a few technical difficulties here. Again, our boards are all lit up. Oh, we think we have you now. 2654, your mic is open. Okay. You had the opportunity. All right. Okay, let's go back to Sister Cynthia. Let's see. What we're going to do is tomorrow we'll talk with Sister Akia and work on what you suggested so that, you know, she can get the direct access to, you know, that GoFundMe thing. I mean, there's a couple of them online, and I think that's an excellent, excellent idea.
Hello, can you hear me?
Again. Okay, wait a minute.
We
do have
you. Not going to college. All
can
right?
You hear me?
Wait a minute. Hold
Make
on
sure.
1 minute. 6254, I'm sorry, I meant to mute you back out. Did you have a comment or question for us?
Yes, my name is Najee. I'd like to commend you for putting this team together. I think this is a wonderful thing. I happen to be a paralegal, and I just recently graduated for e-discovery. And I actually went to school at Pierce College in Philadelphia. This thing about our youth and what happened to the young man, it doesn't seem to be a lot of young black men who are coming forward to speak out. I've been going through this situation all my life. I was just recently kidnapped myself. And it's only because of my education that I knew how to go about it. But in the community where I'm from, there's not a lot of people getting involved. And I like to offer my services as much as I can. And to be proactive, you know, with whatever it is that you're doing. I plan on getting involved and getting in touch, but there definitely needs to be some type of protocol that is taught to children so that they'll know how to deal with these circumstances.
Especially since safety now.
especially since we had this thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, you're right on point. I mean, I'm like, yes. But, yes, please continue.
Especially since we have this thing called e-discovery. And like the elder woman and the other woman said, you know, we got these handheld devices where you can record this electronic information, and the other parties, they have to preserve it and they have to be processed correctly. It's a complex process, but it's workable. And these laws have just been passed in Philadelphia as well as here in New Jersey. And I think that a high level of transparency is what's going to be needed in order to hold people accountable for this, because it's very bad. I can't even walk down the street. I'm constantly in fear just for walking down the streets. And I'm a college student. I'm constantly in college. I got 3 paralegal degrees. And when I get approached by these police officers, it's like I don't get the opportunity to talk. You know, they treat me as if I'm already under arrest. You know, I'm a master of the Constitution. I already have all the case law that they, of anything that they could possibly do, I already have the law in the database, you know. But, it's a lot of unfair treatment when you challenging these things, and without a group and without a discussion in a forum, it's almost impossible. So it's good that you have these type of networks, and I'm going to support you and constantly stay tuned in. Any kind of way that I know what's going on, I'm going to try my best to be there.
Thank you so much, and we will make sure I have your number, I have your name, we will contact you, because one of the things that we put together with the Cop and Gov Watch is, components that will be able to connect to the legal types of things that may need to happen, the documentation, just every aspect, because we have to be self-sufficient. We cannot depend on the system to do everything for us. It just doesn't work like that. And so we know that. And so some of us also have paralegal training. So the more, the better. And we are ready to go. Very soon we're going to be announcing some things that we're going to be doing in our community. We have something called the AFCOM Village, and that's the African community short, AFCOM Village. And what we're doing is, whereas we now have in the city things called town watches, well, we want to have our own community town watches. Because we really have to now take on responsibility to do our own types of things in our community. We cannot depend on everyone else to do that. So we'll definitely be connecting with you to talk about that a little more in the very near future. So thank you so much for your comments.
One more thing. You got another place here. I have a building here. Y'all welcome to come here and meet and whatever. I have office equipment here. I have a little law library here, and I have the e-discovery forms here. So as we're speaking, I'm doing e-discovery forms now to preserve and collect electronically stored information. So by teaching people how to be litigation ready, and I know how to coordinate with legal staff, with all the stakeholders, the victim, and everything, to make sure everything is streamlined. And the court is supposed to allow people to help them to do this. So I'm ready.
Wow. We will definitely be in touch with you very soon, okay? But now, what part of New Jersey are you in?
I'm in Trenton, New Jersey. My office is located in the South Trenton area.
Wow. Okay, wonderful. Wonderful. All right. Well, we will definitely be in touch with you this week. Because
yes,
one of the things we want to do is offer classes for those who are going to be activists and advocates, for some of these areas. So we welcome you, by all means. And we do have some brothers who aren't on the call tonight, but certainly we'll connect you with them as well. Thank you again.
Okay, very well. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, family, we're going to get ready to close this segment out. We have maybe 5 more minutes. Again, we've been talking about a very unfortunate and even tragic situation that happened here in Philadelphia on January the 7th. We're going to keep you all updated as we proceed towards March the 7th and whatever other period of time as we really move forward with the prosecution of these officers. All of them need to be dealt with, as particularly, of course, the one who literally put their hands on this child, but certainly all of them are culprits in this crime, and it is a crime. Sarah, we want you to, of course, stay in tune. If you have some information, even if some of you saw something, because as it was said earlier by Attorney Small, that, you know, sometimes people see things but are afraid to speak out about it. Well, if that is the case and you know something, heard something, please feel free to contact us at nationalmwm@aol.com. Again, nationalmwm@aol.com. We're here every Saturday. We've been here for 6 years now. We're in our 6th year. Can you believe that? So, you know, we want to continue to provide you with inspiration and motivation for liberation. Before we close out tonight,
let me interrupt. There was a woman out there
mm-hmm.
with the pink coat. We don't know who she is, but she was filming it. We would love for her to come forward.
Uh-oh. Okay. Glad you mentioned that. A woman with the green coat. Anything else?
A pink coat. I understand it was a pink coat from what I understand.
Oh, pink coat. Okay.
Pink coat.
Any other height? Anything about height? Color of hair? Anything?
No, that's all we know. And she had said she was going to take the video over to Briere where the boys were heading, but she never showed up there. And we would love for her to come forward with what she has. And certainly contact you or contact me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
I'll give you my phone number,
right,
which is 215-803-3157. For anybody has any information, please call me.
Okay, very good. All right, so this is what we're talking about, keeping your eyes and your ears open, because this is how oftentimes things do work. You know, as a community, we are more powerful than what we sometimes think. So with that said, I'm going to go back to Sister Wanda to see if she has a question or a comment before we close out. We had her on earlier. I just want to check back with her. Sister Wanda, you there?
I'm here. Yes, I am here,
Sister Philo. Mm-hmm. Yep. You have a comment or question for us before we close out tonight?
Well, I just want to say that I agree with all the callers. We all have some really good input. I think that we should probably come up with some kind of a community code where we can all have an indication for this fear factor thing, that we can mm-hmm. communicate that there is something definitely going on, because in case you can't speak around the people who are who are involved or who are doing this to the victims. So I'll be looking forward to definitely getting together and seeing what we can do about this to bring an end to it.
All right. Well, again, as you all know, especially those who have been with us for these past years, we are extremely proactive. And though Attorney Small says that he's pretty confident that this is going to be resolved in the way that we want it to be resolved, again, I've seen clear-cut cases where you would have thought something else would have happened, and it did not. So with that said, we're going to also make certain that you all are prepared in any way possible to, just be ready. If in the event we have to deal with direct action, then we will be prepared to do so. Sometimes that is necessary. We do anticipate rallying, but, again, sometimes we have to come up with strategies that will make the point heard. What that is, we don't know, but we will be discussing that. Sometimes, I believe in this the concept of boycott. Now, how that would be applicable to this particular situation, I don't know, but I'm putting it out there because until we become proactive where people realize that, okay, you're going to lose one way or the other. So, again, I'm just putting it out there to people, we will not settle for a not guilty verdict. It's just not going to happen. And we will be prepared in whatever way possible to respond. Again, I don't know what the specifics are as it would apply to the police and how we could, fight them economically or whatever, but I'm just saying it just would not be something that we would just dismiss if it were to go that way. So, I'm just putting it out there to everyone. But at any rate, we will continue the dialogue next week, and as I indicated, We're here. We're going to be here. So whatever comes up, we'll be able to convey it to you at any given time. Our mic is readily available to Sister Akia. And so with that said, whatever she calls and say, look, we need to get some information out, we'll be right on it. So you can depend on that. We're always here, family. As you know, we never miss a beat. Sister Akia,
thank
we're
going
to give you our closing words for tonight. Please feel free to share with our family listening audience whatever you wish to share with us.
I would like to thank everyone for their support and for understanding, because this is really, really a hard time for us right now. I do agree with one of the callers about the Trayvon Martin case. My son and I was down there at that rally, and I never thought that this would be us. But I am so appreciative for all the people that has been out and shown their support. He appreciated, and so do I.
Mm-hmm.
Thank everyone.
So very welcome. And
I just like to comment upon what you've heard, and hopefully there are, and you look at the video, there were just so many people out there, and yet everybody's afraid to come forward, and I would just hope that your program would propel some of these eyewitnesses to call us and not to be so afraid of the police. There's not going to be any repercussions. In fact, I'll protect them. So come forward and give us the information you have, and particularly that woman with the video.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, all right, family. Party here. Attorney Small, please give out your telephone number again, please.
215-803-5157. I'll repeat it again. 215-803-5157.
Okay. And Sister Akia, is there a email address that you may want to provide, or would you just rather it go directly to Attorney Small?
It's okay. Ikea,
okay.
IKEA,
mm-hmm.
981@gmail.com.
That's very good. And I ask that because, family, if you sometimes just have some kind words or some encouraging words or whatever to share, please feel free to send that over to our sister. As we all know, these types of things always help. And, again, we appreciate the love and support that you all have shown up to this point, and we know that more is still to come. And we certainly, again, appreciate you tuning in tonight. And with that said, we're going to get ready to leave you as we kind of greeted you with the love, respect, and as we move forward for power, prosperity, and peace, we're going to leave you with this thought again from Nina Simone. But before we do, Sister Akia, thank you so much again. And we're here. We're going to be here.
Thank
so
you.
Make sure you just give us a call, and we'll be right on it. And we'll certainly, see you this weekend coming and talk with you further. Attorney Small, we thank you also. And we move forward. We move forward with this fight. Okay? Family, we thank all of you again. We'll keep you posted, keep you in tune. If you're on our e-list, you will be getting updates. And if you are not, just let us know. Send us something at nationalmwm@aol.com, and we will certainly include you in our regular postings. Again, we thank all of you again. We're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you, and that is in the spirit of Ma'amenhotep, meaning justice and peace. But remember, there can be no real Ma'at, no real justice, unless there's Hotep, and vice versa. There can be no real peace unless there's truly justice. And we will obtain justice because, as we say, time, we leave you in the spirit of our ancestors. And we leave out with Nina Simone. Tomorrow is my turn. It's our turn. It's time.
No more doubts, no more fears. Tomorrow is my turn to receive without giving, to make life worth the living. For it's my life I'm living. been my only concern. But tomorrow is my turn. When summer is gone, there's another to come. You can't stop years drifting by, even if you want to try. No time may help you forget all that has happened. What is gone will be no more. Tomorrow is my turn. No more doubts, no more fears. Tomorrow is my turn. When my luck is returning, all these years I've been learning to save fingers from burning. Said tomorrow is my time. No more doubts, no more fears. Tomorrow is my time to receive without giving, to make life worth my living. For it's my life I'm living. Tomorrow is my turn. No more doubts, no more fears. Tomorrow is my turn. For my love to be returning. All these years I've been learning. Fingers from burning. Tomorrow is my friend. No doubt, no more fear. Tomorrow is my friend.